Okay, well, I definitely know that I've made some people mad at me. And I had a big blow up on Facebook this last night, actually. I mean, it was a huge blow up. And this lady that's been following me for a while, she got mad at me because I said a few things. Here's what I said. I'll tell you what I said. The first thing I said was, I'm tired of hearing about racism. That's the first thing I said. Then I made another post, and I said, I can't believe all these people came together to honor a thug and a criminal. And let me say it again. I can't believe all these people came together to honor a thug and a criminal. And then that lady commenced to say, well, thanks for showing your white privilege. Well, and then I obviously couldn't leave that one alone. Now, could I? So, I said something to the effect of, thanks for showing a victimized mentality or a black victimized mentality or something like that. And then I commenced to preach the gospel and say, you know what? All men are sinners. I don't care what color you are. Black men are going to die and go to hell just like all the others are. So, that tipped off some anger. Well, basically not. And then I had like this. And then she reported me like a sneaky little Jezebel witch. And then she blocked me and said, you're about to be famous. And after she said that, she sent about 30 or 40 or 50 BLM Black Lives Matters people over to call me racist and tell me how they wanted, how I should die and all this other stuff. So, I basically deactivated my Facebook accounts and because I can't keep up with all their cussing. I mean, they're just berating my page with F-bombs and perverted stuff and telling me how I'm garbage. And I'm like, isn't that the opposite message that you're supposed to be preaching to people? I thought you people were preaching love and acceptance and everything else. See, it's no different than street preaching. It's no different than that. Here's the point. When you don't bow the knee to whatever ideology is out there, then they're going to come after you. I thought it was interesting. It was very few black people. Most of it was white people with white guilt. and sodomite white people. That's who it mostly was. So, you know, I kind of want to answer some of my critics. You know, I kind of do actually a little bit. Because they're too cowardly to really put on. They don't ever put their email address on. And see, they don't put anything else on. And again, if I get kicked off of here, I'm just going to stream from sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, same time as I do now. I'll just stream over there, and that'll be fine. We'll move on with life. But here's what they said. Why are white pastors so quick? This was on my about fatherless black children, right? All I did was use the numbers and the statistics. But that's racist. If you tell the truth, that's racist. By the way, before I forget, let me pray for Lisa right now. Father in heaven, Lord, please be with Lisa and her family situation, her mother. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help them at this time. Just be with them and comfort their hearts. And we just pray for the mighty move of the Spirit of God through all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. But here's what was said to me. Why are white pastors so quick to do a video about black people being in fatherless homes as a reason to explain the bad things they do? Where are your videos on the white people that do bad things? While there is a father in the home, KKK, Scott Peterson, Susan Smith, the Batman shooter, Jeffrey Dahmer, school shooters, just to name a few. Did they do these bad things because there was a father in the home? And if so, what does that say about the father? Well, if you actually do a study of mass shooters, you find two things. And I praise God, by the way. Let me back this up and say this. I praise God, by the way. I have covered all these things. I have talked about all these things. I have went back and I have covered all of these. I've dealt with these issues. I dealt with the mass shooters. I dealt with boys in America and why they're going wrong. I dealt with the Batman shooter issue, Jeffrey Dahmer, pornography, and I've dealt with all these issues. I've been consistent by God's grace. I've covered all these things and been consistent through the years with all of these. I have not showed partiality when it comes to any of this stuff. In fact, I think I have been harder on all these mass shooters. I've preached more on mass shooters. I've preached more on the drugs and the dope and the pornography and all of those things and the fatherless homes and a man being in leading his home and a woman being home. I've covered these things over the years. And I've laid the problem at the feet of the churches and at the feet of the pastors who need to do more to preach the word of God. But I'm not going to ignore the wickedness that lies in the black culture as well. I'm not going to ignore that. How does that help them by ignoring that? It doesn't help that culture. It doesn't help those people at all to ignore those systematic truths that are there. Look, the answer is not going to come through politicians. They are a bunch of panders. From Trump all the way down, they pander to these people. And when I say these people, I mean everyone. They pander to the LGBTQ. They, by the way, I was the biggest misogynist, biggest wicked man, worst man ever, because I preached against homosexuality, the LGBTQ movement, and all those other things. I hated people and all this stuff they said when I preached against all that. So the sodomites say the same thing about me. The LGBTQ people say the same thing about me. The feminists say the same thing about me. The Black Lives Matters people say the same thing about me. By the way, I preached against Black Lives Matters before it was cool. I have videos 4 years ago standing in the streets against Black Lives Matter when their whole train was coming down, and I preached the gospel against them. My dad's on video up at the state fair a couple years ago while the state fair's going on. The Black Lives Matter shut the block down, and we cranked our amp up and preached the gospel to them. So I think we've been consistent. I think you have to preach without fear or favor. And I believe you have to tell the truth. And it's important that you do that. And I believe by God's grace, I have done that. I believe I've been consistent all the way through that. In that sense. And see, for some reason, the truth about things is it's hate. By the way, I've also preached about the Pope's white power structure. And all kinds of other games that he plays. And by the way, I've been warning about this for years. If you go back into 2016 and times like that before, I warned about the coming race wars. I warned that they were coming. I think this is a good quote by this young lady. Christian, we are watching the rise of a new religion. It is your job not to apostatize to it. You can't do that if you're bowing down, speaking their language, and hoping to baptize just enough of this new religion in Christianese to ease your own guilt for being so spineless. There's a plethora of race issues, and people are not always going to agree about all of them. They're not. All Christians are never going to be in agreement about all these race issues between police, between other things. That's going to be there. But you know what? Floyd was not a good man. I'd like to show the video that of Candace Owen, but she has a dirty mouth, I'll be honest with you. I respect her position. I wish she was saved by the grace of God and spoke like a Christian. But I respect her position that she made on this issue. But there are always going to be differences of opinion. There's always going to be. If you think that's dumb, look at this. If you're white and you want to dismantle white supremacy, then you have no choice but to go bald for BLM. Look at this. Reject the patriarchy and white domination. Reject your ancestors now. Shave it off. Black Lives Matters. So I'm supposed to go through all these hoops to make some race happy with me? I'm supposed to do this in order to make people happy? Let me show you something that's really weird. This is what a slave does. Back in the Old Testament times, let me show you the picture of this. And seest among the captives a beautiful woman as a desire unto her that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, then thou shalt bring her to thine house, and she shall shave her head and pare her nails. And she shall put the raiment of captivity from off her, and shall remain in thine house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month. And after that thou shalt go in unto her and be your husband, and she shall be thy wife. Do you see that? So this girl is actually making herself a slave. By the way, in Candace Owens' commentary, I am so tempted. I just wish it didn't have a few cuss words in it. Because I don't like putting that on my channel. But I'm telling you, I really, really, really... believe that the points that she makes are very accurate. But you look at that. So shave your head and do this and do that. I don't think so. Here's another wise man. Look at this. It's the same woke white hipsters with their skinny jeans and man buns that were too scared to leave their apartment last week who are in crowds of thousands egging cars and burning buildings. Thank you for your sudden passion for civil rights. Please go back to quarantine. Here's another important one. Unarmed blacks killed in abortion clinics every year, 400,000 plus. Unarmed blacks killed by police in 2019, 9. Guess which one Black Lives Matters wants to defund? Guess which one they wanted to fund? Hmm. That's very interesting, isn't it? Me tell you something. Satan's got his hoof print all over this. All over it. Her video was spot on this morning or the other day. I didn't listen to all of it. I only listened to about half of it. I just didn't like the cussing. I don't like it. I really try to avoid it as much as I can. But you look and see what's going on here. You look and see what's transpiring. This is nothing more than a this is nothing more. Than a satanic mob is all this is. We do realize that needing to kneel before others solely because of the color of your skin is the very essence of racism, right? I want you to think about that. I like those verses too, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, I kind of disagree with Ken Ham in the sense that he says, like, I mean, I get that we're all one human race, but there are distinctions in our races, and there's nothing wrong with those distinctions. There isn't anything wrong. All may come to the gospel. All may be in the church. All may be saved by the grace of God. But you're not, there's nothing wrong with them having their history or their culture or their race. There isn't anything wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with them understanding their history and where they came from. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I have no problem with that. There's things about my heritage, as far as where I, you know, that are important to me. They want to preserve their heritage. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with black folks wanting to preserve their heritage. I see nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think it's wrong for anybody to do that. You know, Latinos or anyone else. I mean, if there's nothing wrong with them. Praising God for the way they were made. God made the difference. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, God made the difference. You know, so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. People are going to have preferences. I know black folks that will only marry other black folks. White folks that only want to marry white folks. Hispanic folks that only want to marry Hispanic folks. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. They can do that. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I've got a friend, and I won't mention his name because I don't want anybody to give him a hard time. And he's in the ministry. He's an African. And he wants his children to marry within his African culture. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that at all. I don't think that's a sin, and I don't think that's hate. I don't think that's bitterness. I don't think that's racist. I don't think it's anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that at all if people want to do that. Nothing. So, I mean, people have their preferences like that, and I don't believe God's angry with them for having those, and I don't. And by the way, let me say this. There is no race better than the other. We are all animated dirt. And the only thing good about us is Christ Jesus the Lord. So for one piece of animated dirt to think they're better than another piece of animated dirt is foolishness and pride. None of us are better than each other. None of us. So I don't think there's anything wrong with any of that. I don't. There's going to be people with differences of opinion. They don't care. That's their business. That's their business. So anyway, but I think people are allowed to have their own distinctions and their cultures, and I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think that's, Paul wasn't saying that we're done away with all the cultural things, because the Jews still kept their celebratory things, but they weren't allowed to press those on the Gentiles. And neither were the Gentiles, allowed to press the Jews and say, well, you got to be like us. You see what I mean? We can have those differences. That isn't racist. It's not racist. It's not hateful. You know, people are afraid to talk about this stuff because you're automatically a racist. That's why I said to that person, why? All men are sinners. You're all wicked as hell. Romans chapter 1 says they that without the law, wicked. Romans chapter 2, they that are within the law, wicked. Romans chapter 3, you're all wicked, right? We all need Jesus. But there's nothing wrong with having those distinctives and everything. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I don't believe. And I don't believe the Jews were forced to become Gentiles. The Gentiles were not forced to become Jews. Right? What's wrong with that? Somebody has a difference of opinion? That's them. So anyway. But, and by the way, I know a lot of black folks that, God-fearing, holy people that believe that same thing. I'm not talking about just white people or Asians or Hispanics or anybody like that. Lots of people believe that way. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's personal preference. You know, and I don't see that that's a sin. So, well, I think when fathers, Teresa, to your point, I think when fathers lead in the marriage of their daughters and they do and they train how they would have things to be, I think that's the way that things will probably be. But when you take your hands off and let your daughters run around and do whatever they want, then you'll end up with any outcome. And I think that's the truth. I think that's the way that happens. So, but anyway, regardless, again, that's personal decisions between families to make those decisions. I believe, you know, and I know a lot of people on all sides of that issue, you know, that come down on that. And I don't think it's something that you preach that this is the way it has to be. I think it's left up to every family to decide those issues. That's what I believe. So, anyway. And that's, again, talking to Africans from, you know, from America, not from America, all over. So, anyway. But, Yeah, they're starting a race war. When they decided to move Robert E. Lee's statue like that, they're causing a race war. That's what they're doing. They're fomenting it. Now listen, we have to navigate between those things. See, there's a danger, I think, also. There's a danger also in trying to make everything a melting pot of Babylon, make all one, so you don't get any distinctions. Especially if you're white, you're not allowed to ever talk about any distinctions. You're not allowed to talk about any distinctions. You're not allowed to have a heritage. In fact, they want to rip it all off. They're wanting to take down all the heritage of this nation, the way it was founded, and everything else. That's part of it. But that's part of the war that is there. So. That's part of the war. Okay. I saw something else that was really sad. Let me see if I can find it here. I think I might have took a picture of it on my phone. I think this is important. Also, whoops, wrong one. This one. While we're talking about this issue. Full George Floyd autopsy reveals his blood concentration of the powerful street opiate fentanyl was four times the level known to cause fatalities. Floyd also had speed and marijuana in his system. First arresting officer on the scene saw foam around the mouth, asked if on anything. Right? Does this excuse the cop? No. Of course not. See, we have to be able to process more than one thought. Right? We should be able to process more than one thought. What's the thought here? Well, I think it's pretty clear what happened here. That doesn't excuse the officer's actions, but it sure does explain a lot. It sure does explain a lot. And unfortunately, it's going to be used for like all-out war and lifting up a man that is not a godly man. By the way, his church, Resurrection Houston, said that he was a type of Christ. Think about that for a minute. Said that he was a type of Christ. And that he was like Abel. See if I could find the other thing I was going to show you too about that. In 2009, George Floyd pleaded guilty for first-degree felony charge of an assault and armed robbery. He took part in 2007 and spent 5 years in prison for breaking into a lady's house with the intent to rob her. George agreed that he wore a blue uniform to look like a government employee to gain the lady's trust and eventually pave his way into the home. The lady soon realized that the person was impersonating to be a government worker. She tried to shut the door, but Floyd brute-forced his way into the house. Consequently, five people exited the truck parked outside the house and went straight inside the lady's house. According to Daily UK, the court report mentions that the victims identified George, tallest of all the robbers, who pressed a pistol to her stomach and forced his way into the house. He put a gun to the lady's belly. He pressed a pistol to her stomach and forced his way into the house. The largest suspect then proceeded to search the residence while another armed suspect guarded the complainant, who was struck in the head and sides by a second armed suspect with his pistol while she screamed for help. Betty, does it sound like he was trying to take his life back when he was on four times the strength of fentanyl that in a human body that it's supposed to have, that he was on methamphetamines and he was drunked up? Unfortunately, Floyd did not find any money or valuables in the house, so he fled the scene using his truck. A neighbor had witnessed the robbery attempt and wrote down the number of the license plate and reported the incident to 911 instantly. Police followed the lead and successfully tracked down the car. Floyd was found behind the wheel. Later, his identity was cross-verified with a woman who reported the suspect placed a gun to her abdomen and entered her house forcefully. Fentanyl is a class of drugs named opiate narcotic. It changes, alters how the brain and nervous system respond to pain. It is prescribed to those patients who become intolerant of pain-curing medications. Hennepin County Medical Examiner released a toxicology report on June 2nd, which stated that George Floyd was indeed intoxicated with fentanyl, methamphetamine, and some compounds of cannabis and morphine at the time of his death. However, these were not termed the principal factors. The principal factors behind Floyd's death. Read the Hennepin County official biopsy. The autopsy report claimed that George died due to cardiopulmonary arrest, listing complicated law enforcement subdual restraint and neck compression. George was also linked to two convictions in the 90s for possession, theft of a controlled substance, cocaine. However, it's not clear whether or not Floyd served his time in prison for this felony. George was accused of a firearm robbery in August 1998, for which he served 10 months at Harris County Jail. In April 2002, Floyd was condemned to 30 days of prison for trespassing private property. Now, let me ask you a question. If this man is white, if he is black, if he is purple, if he is blue, if he is a Polack, whatever he is, let me ask you a question. If you pull up a rap sheet like this on a guy, are you going to take precautionary measures? Doesn't justify what the cop did. I'm not saying that. Yes, the lady was pregnant. I'm not justifying the knee to the neck thing, okay? I'm not justifying that. What I'm saying to you is, would you be on high alert if you pulled this dude over? Okay, George Floyd was involved in two more cocaine offenses, October 2002 and 2004, which he did 8 months and 10 months sentence in prison. Another cocaine possession conviction in 2005, Floyd was arrested for having cocaine on him and served 10 months in state jail. After a few months, Floyd's charges were upgraded, amending the cocaine amount he possessed to about 4 grams. But he convinced the jury he had less than 1 gram. After a few months, Floyd was charged, was upgraded. However, okay, at the time of his arrest, he allegedly dropped a white bag on the sidewalk. The white bag is believed to contain cocaine or some illegal drug. You can watch the video below. White bag. Okay. So you see, there's more to the story. Now, does that condone the officer? No. Do I think it had anything to do with race? No. Not even close. Not even close. Just like... just like this doesn't have anything to do with race. Right? That was foolish of those police to do that. Very foolish. You can, you don't, why would you push an old man like that? That's just stupid. Now, I will say this, that cops are heightened up right now. They are jacked up right now. And you would be too. I'm not, again, I'm not, I just said it was wrong. I just said it was wrong. Okay? I'm not condoning what was done there. But I'm telling you that they're hyped up right now. When you got people wanting to kill you, you're pretty hyped up. Right? You're just pretty jacked up. And that's sad. The whole thing is sad. The whole thing is sad. All of this is sad. If people loved one another, obviously this wouldn't happen. But what's wrong and takes away from your integrity is making this guy out to be some kind of a hero. And these politicians have to do it. These other people have to do it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to. I don't like it. But the man died a sinner's death. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. That doesn't mean everything is right about what happened. It's not. It's not okay. Just like pushing that old man over wasn't okay. But the answer is not anarchy. The answer is not to... The answer is not to shut the police down like they want to do right now. We're just going to shut the police down. We're going to defund all police stations. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. It isn't. The answer is Christ. And unfortunately, that man lost his life. See, I don't have to... Look, we've been bounced between two sides. We're navigating through the COVID-19 statism garbage where the state has gone too far. To then, like I said in the opening, to the George Soros racial socialism that is trying to be pushed. So I got to be on the COVID-19, I'm going to protect you by locking you down side. If I'm not on that side, well, then I'm just wicked, right? I don't care about anybody. Or I got to be on the George Soros racial socialism BLM side. If I'm not on that side... The Antifa side. If I'm not on that side, well, then I'm just a racist. But that's not true. There's a Bible side. And it's the straight and narrow way. And that was very foolish of them to do that even to that man, too. Very foolish. But see, there's an end game to all this. What they're trying to do. Out of chaos comes order.
Robin's feeling the fatigue. Time to...
Minneapolis City Council President, Democrat Jeremiah Ellison, claimed that they'll dismantle the police. Now, Keith Ellison, he is the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota. Jeremiah Ellison, a Minneapolis City Councilman and son of State Attorney General Keith Ellison, is calling for the dismantling of the Minneapolis Police Department. All it is the Hegelian dialectic, and we're supposed to get shoved in there. Well, maybe I disagree with both of them. I actually think Coke tastes better with pizza than Pepsi does. But look at this. We're going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. He tweeted Thursday, and when we're done, we're not simply going to glue it back together. We're going to dramatically rethink how we approach public safety and emergency response. It's really that simple. Or it's really past due, he said. So in other words, this guy is saying on the city council of Minneapolis, we're going to get rid of all the police. So now they want to cut the funding to the police. You have people all over the place. You have people all over the place saying in Los Angeles and other places, we're going to cut the police's budgets. Right? What do they want to do that? They want to cause anarchy. They want to cause social uprising. They want to deconstruct. They want to destroy society. Now, we believe in liberty, but we believe there's a rule of law. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of that power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know, people are going to defend themselves, and people should defend themselves. But you got this guy right here, and what he's pushing is, he's pushing an anarchy. So the mob rules. Do you understand that if you give these people their way, right? If you give these people their way, their mob rule, they'll do it to everyone. They'll do it to everyone and everything. And that's what these people want. They want the mob to rule. That's what they want.
Is your credit card debt stressing you out?
That's their
Nicole's
goal.
Drowning in drama.
Now, let me
Time
see.
Time for a house call.
I'm done with the drama. Bye.
As we navigate between
I got things
both,
I want to do. But student loans were holding me back.
We're going to read this. The whole COVID-19 thing. Katie Porter, I think you're right. I think there's Chinese and Russian agents and people that are probably more Chinese than anything is my guess. But I would think that there are Chinese agents that are pushing this too. Absolutely. I absolutely believe that too. And I think that'll come to light. Okay. This man has spoken against the lockdowns for a long time, right? Maybe the most important questions of all about the COVID-19 pandemic are, how lethal is the virus SARS-CoV-2? Whom does it kill? Are the death counts accurate? And if not, are they overstated or understated? Estimates of the lethality of the coronavirus have varied widely since January. Early Chinese data suggested the virus might have been an infection fatality rate as high as 1.4 to 2%. So think about that. Think about that. A death rate in the range could mean the coronavirus might kill more than 6 million Americans, although even under the worst case scenarios, some people would not be exposed and others might have natural immunity that would prevent them from being infected at all. As we learn more about the virus, estimates of its lethality have fallen. Calculating fatality rates is complex because despite all of our testing for COVID-19, we still don't know how many people have been infected. Some people who are infected may have no or mild symptoms. Even those with more severe symptoms may resist going to the hospital than recover on their own, which is what most people did. We have a clear view of the top of the iceberg, the serious infections that require hospitalization, but at least in the early stages of the epidemic, we have to guess at the mild hidden infections. But to calculate the true fatality rate, we need to know the true infection rate. 10,000 people die out of 100,000 infections. That if 10,000 people die out of 100,000, that means the virus kills 10% of all people it infects, making it very, very dangerous. But if 10,000 people die from 10 million infections, the death rate actually is 0.1%, similar to the flu. Unfortunately, figuring out the real infection rate is very difficult. Probably the best way is through antibody tests, which measure how many people have already been infected and recovered, even if they never were hospitalized or even had symptoms. Studies in which many people in a city, state, or even country are tested at random to see if they are currently infected can also help. Believe it or not, so can tests of municipal sewage. For now, the crucial point is this. Randomized antibody tests from all over the world have repeatedly shown many more people have been affected with coronavirus than is revealed by tests for active infection. Many people who are infected with SARS-CoV-2 don't even know it. So the hidden part of the iceberg is huge. And in turn, scientists have repeatedly reduced their estimates for how dangerous the coronavirus might be. The most important estimate came on May 20th when the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported it's been estimated that the virus would kill 0.26% of people it infected, or about 1 in 400. The virus would kill 0.4% of those who develop symptoms, but about 1 out of 3 people would have no symptoms at all. A German study in April reported a fatality rate of 0.37%. A large study in April in Los Angeles predicted a death rate at the range of 0.15 to 0.3. Some estimates have been even lower. Others have been somewhat higher, especially in regions that experienced periods of severe stress on either healthcare systems. In New York City, for example, the death rates appear somewhat higher, possibly above 0.5. Though New York may be an outlier, both because it has counted deaths aggressively, more on this later, and because its hospitals seem to have used ventilators particularly aggressively, which killed people. Thus, the CDC estimates for death is probably the best place to begin. Using that figure along with the several other papers and studies to suggest the coronavirus has an infection rate of 0.15. In other words, SARS-CoV-2 likely kills between 1 in 250 and 1 in 650 of the people whom it infects. Again, though not everyone who's exposed will become infected. Some people do not contract the virus, perhaps because of their T cells, which help. Which help the immune system destroy invading viruses and bacteria. Have already been primed by exposure to other coronaviruses. Several other coronaviruses exist. The most common versions usually cause minor colds in the people they infect. An early May paper in the journal Cell suggests that as many as 60% of people may have some pre-existing immune response, though not all will necessarily be immune. The experience of outbreaks on large ships, as such as aircraft carriers and cruise liners, also show that some people do not become infected. The best estimates are that the virus probably can infect somewhere between 50 to 70% of people. For example, on one French aircraft carrier, 60% of sailors were infected. None died, and only two out of the 1,074 infected sailors required intensive care. Thus, in a worst-case scenario, if we took no steps to mitigate its spread to protect vulnerable people, a completely unchecked coronavirus might kill between 0.075 and 0.28% of the United States population. Between 1 in 360 and 1 in 1,300 people. This is higher than the seasonal flu in most years. Influenza is usually said to have a fatality rate among symptomatic cases 1 in 1,000, or an overall fatality rate of 1 in 2,000. However, influenza mutates rapidly and its dangerous varies year by year. The coronavirus appears far less dangerous than the Spanish flu a century ago, which was commonly said to have killed 1 in 50 in people it infected. The current coronavirus pandemic appears more comparable in terms of overall mortality to the influenza epidemics of 1957 and 1968, or the British flu epidemic of the late 1990s. Of course, the United States and United Kingdom do not only shut down for any of these epidemics, they receive little attention outside the healthcare system. Hang on a second. Somebody's Jeep going off. Not mine.
Path I take alone. Jesus is your Savior and you love Him with all your heart, He can make even the worst circumstances work.
Say.
Whoops, sorry guys, I forgot about that. Let me start over. The Southern Baptist Convention sees the biggest drop in 100 years. Yeah, I hit the wrong button. I had it muted because of the horn was going off, and I played a song for you, a couple songs while the horn was going off. So anyway, but sorry about that. It'll be back on a second for you. Crazy Granny. Who's Crazy Granny? That's what I want to know. Who is Crazy Granny? I got to know who Crazy Granny is. Anyway, sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. But these baptisms are down. The membership's down. What's happening with the Southern Baptist Convention? Well, they're basically kowtowing to the feminist, to the LGBTQ movement. That's what they're doing. They're giving in. Sadly. And that church is going down because of it, that Southern Baptist group. Look, if you try to make your church like the world to make the world happy, it's not going to work. You'll cease to become a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be like the world. And you'll say everything that makes the world happy, and you'll try to capitulate to them. And you got, again, remember the J.D. Greer guy that was singing the Nice. A name my grandboys gave me. It's a gun-toting, flag-waving patriot. Nice. Oh, that's funny. All right. So, they're sinking. And they're sinking because of what they're doing. I can't believe they elected this guy in 2018. I can't believe it. Ugh. But that's the direction it's going. And further, there's going to be a further slip. You know, there was like this resurgence of conservatism among the Southern Baptists for a while. And then they... And then they just fell back down again. So, I mean, that's the direction of the SBC. That's where it's going, unfortunately. Thought this was interesting. I guess nobody's worried about the coronavirus, right? You had politicians like Nancy Pelosi out here, and they're all singing Lean on Me. But you had different, and I'm not saying this is the group that she was with, but there's a group picture of her, and she's with this many people. So that about that whole not having church thing because it's dangerous for people, that one. Right? Look at that. I guess there's no more COVID. I guess that's gone, right? How about the truth here? Black babies' lives matter. St. Louis black babies are dying at 3 times the rate of white babies. The promise of a future for so many families in our region disappears with each death. Yet this gap has only widened, yes, widened over the past 50 years. With some of the best healthcare in the country within our city blocks and hardworking, dedicated citizens collaborating to end infant mortality in general, why are black babies dying at a rate worse than decades ago? The root cause of this infant mortality crisis are embedded in the history of our city and the policies and systems that govern our region. Many policies are education, transportation, housing, and healthcare disproportionately advantage white families and disproportionately disadvantage black families. Think about this. While this universal approach has been seen a decline in infant mortality overall, it does not address the cause of why black babies die more often than white babies. Systems and markets must work equally well and behave in ways that support all families in order to assure that infant mortality rates no longer be predicted by race. Well, you know what the number one reason why more are dying? Because they kill them. Because of abortion. It's because of abortion. How many of them are aborted? How many of these babies are aborted? How many don't make it out? How many don't make it out alive of the womb before they're killed? Think about that. We have an epidemic of fatherless, like we talked about. The fatherless and the widows, the Bible said. That we're to be good to the fatherless and the widow. That we're to protect the fatherless and the widow. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, there's an epidemic of fatherless and widows out there, women that are taking care of babies by themselves. Think about that. There's an epidemic of it out there. See, they all wanted this is the direction that the nation is going in. This is what's happening in our world today. That's right, Paul. We got to go to those poor neighborhoods. Spread the gospel and plant churches. That is the answer. When there are thousands upon thousands of babies that are being murdered in our country. Margaret Sanger, remember that? If you've never heard that sermon, you ought to listen to that one. Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, A Witch's War Against God. She hated black folks. She hated them. She said the most gracious thing a large black family could do was put to death one of their infants, was to have an abortion. So, you know, how do we navigate between the COVID-19 statism stuff that tells us that, and then we're to navigate through George Soros' racial socialism on both sides, and they want to force you into a Hegelian dialectic to where you and I have to take a side with either one? No, we're standing in the middle and we're saying you're both wrong. We believe statism, the worship of the state and state having all authority, is wrong. And we believe that George Soros' racial socialism, Black Lives Matters anarchist program is wrong. We believe them both to be wrong. We believe that God defines what civil government is. We believe that God defines the authority of civil government. We believe the only way to fix any culture anywhere or any nation anywhere is the Bible. The answer is to plant churches. Will white men be accepted in predominantly black areas? Probably not. But But that's why we need to see black men get saved, called to preach, raised up, and start churches in those areas. That's not racist. It's like when a missionary goes over to Africa, they preach the gospel. Africans get saved. They get called to preach. They ordain them. They become pastors. That's Bible. That's the answer. That's the word of God, right? That is the answer. That's what the scriptures tell us. And it works. Because thousands upon thousands of preachers overseas can tell you it works. Because it's God's way, and God's word tells you it works. God's word tells you it has the answer. Very clear. Very clear and precise scriptural answers. The gospel has to be preached in the ghetto. The gospel has to be preached in urban areas. The gospel has to be preached in the suburbs. The gospel has to be preached everywhere. People need to be saved, baptized. Works need to be started. And among their own people, what needs to rise up are God-fearing men that follow the book, that teach their brothers and sisters how to live for God and get back to a godly family structure and home. Because then this stuff goes right out the window when that's done. It's not prevalent. But it takes men of courage to stand up. It takes courage to stand up for that. You know, I think of people in different cultures that do that. They stand up and they explain the truth to those to their own people and tell them about that. And guess what happens? They get hated. Right? And that's going to happen. But some people are going to be helped. Some people are going to be saved. Some are going to be saved. Some are going to get right. Some are going to... look at this. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children of their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's what needs to happen. Godly structures in the home taught right there at the church level. Taught how to be a family. Taught how to walk with the Lord. I don't care what color you are, wherever you're at, taught those things from the scriptures. It's important. And if it's done, it'll change. See, Christianity changed the whole world's view on marriage. Paul did. Paul taught the importance of the husband and the wife and the working together. And when he taught that family structure, the Gentiles learned what God expected from marriage. They learned it. They learned what God expected. Remember, he's writing in Corinthians and he's writing these things down. I'm telling you, these things cannot be overstated in the day and age that we live in. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All of these things, they show the family structure, the home, and the importance of it. And you can't dismiss this. See, what does the LGBTQ movement want to do? Dismiss the family structure? Dismiss the husband and the wife? The traditional roles? You can't go away from God's order. You can't go away from God's order. You can't go away from the truth of the scriptures. You can't do that and expect that things are going to work out fine. It doesn't. It's not going to. It can't. Unless we get back to the fundamentals of the family, the home, and the church. All these areas, they need churches. Every single one of them. And I don't mean fake ones, but I mean real churches. They need real ones. God ordained churches. In these communities. That's the answer. That's God's answer. It's necessary. It's needful. And God uses it. I'll tell you what. I know my family, if I didn't get saved by the grace of God, well, I wouldn't have had a family anyway. I probably wouldn't even have been married. But I know how the Bible's impacted my family. I know how the Bible's impacted your family, you that I know, that I pastor. I know how the Bible and the truth of God's word and salvation in the church has impacted your family. I know the members of OPBC that come here. I know their family is impacted by the word of God. It is changed, and by the church that God uses and the order and the structure and the preaching of God's word. I know that's the answer for everyone. Say, Pastor, is it really that simple? Yeah, it really is. It really is that simple. It's God's word that does it. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. People go from a rubble rouser to a troublemaker to a you know, from an old drunk and everything else to a person that follows the Bible, follows God's word, a Christian, a born-again believer, and it changes their life. Jesus changes their life. That's who they need. They need Jesus. The man that they need to bow the knee to is Jesus Christ. The man they need to go back to is Jesus. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. And Romans 14 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So you know what these people really need to do? Bow the knee to Christ. Right? Right? That's what they need to do.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee.
Bow the knee. Bow the knee. He is King of all the ages. Bow the knee. God of all on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee.
Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more. Bow the knee. In his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God of all.
Before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee,
bow the knee, bow the knee.
He is King of all the ages, bow the knee.
as you live to love him more, bow the knee. Bow the knee. Bow the knee.
Amen. Good song, good truth there. That's very sad, Lisa, that your mom has to die without you kids being around. I don't know. I think I'd be trying to force my way through that hospital. I'd be telling them, you can let me in and see my mom. If these people can all protest out here, I can go see my mom. So I wouldn't put up with that. I'd be fighting that. I mean it, too. These bunch of communists. Well, I think that's it for today. Unless if you guys have any questions or comments you'd like to make, if you want to comment on something here, we'll definitely give you a chance to do that. Or if you want to say hi for a moment, we'll definitely do that. I'll give you a chance to do that. Anything you want to say or comment on or questions you might have or anything like that.
To fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as he goes. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings.
Somebody asked me a question, what do you think of police bowing knee to protesters? I think it's garbage. That's what I think. I think it sets a precedent, and I think police can show by their actions their sincerity to do right. But that whole taking a knee and all that other stuff is just bowing to a mob crowd, in my opinion.
Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and he gives my spirit wings. God gives wings. As he goes, God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as he goes. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside, looking only unto Jesus,
us.
He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us. He has won the victor's crown. And he calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings as he goes. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as he goes. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings.
Amen. Good song. All right, everybody. I hope you all have a good weekend. And remember, next Wednesday, or this Wednesday coming up, I guess, however you look at it, will be my last broadcast for 2 weeks. And then I'll be gone on vacation for 2 weeks. It'll be a little over 2 weeks, I think. But whatever. Anyway, that'll be my last broadcast for a while. So we'll be heading out on Friday. So you pray for us, pray the Lord would just bless us and guide us and direct us. Somebody asked the question, do you believe it's all Soros funded? Yes. Yes. Him and other dark characters that want to fund it. Yep. So, anyway, I do believe that. All right, but we will be back Monday, Lord willing. So, you pray for us that the Lord bless us this weekend and that the Lord would be honored and glorified by everything we do. Amen. So, have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.